Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a good Monday. It's me, Rob. Big Sook right over there.
I am having a good Monday.
Me too. Great sports weekend.
Had a little pick-me-up there a couple breaks ago. Now I'm feeling great. Not yawning anymore.
Yeah, those energy drinks. Have you?
Yeah, energy
people love
drinks.
Cocaine.
Have you had a good energy drink yet in your life?
No, and I almost never drink them. Yeah, I find them to be horrific.
I do too.
But I was so tired that I was like, I gotta have something.
Now that raises the next question, which is, why can't they make an energy drink that tastes good?
Well, some people think they do taste good.
Yeah, there's people that are just...
I guess that's true.
They just like slam those Monster energy drinks. But those things have like...
Maybe more for the masses.
70, 80 grams of sugar in them. You're just drinking a soda.
I'm going to go ahead and say I think it is for the masses, Rob, because they are wildly successful companies.
Yeah.
I think we may be in the minority.
We're the outliers that energy drinks all taste gross. I don't think so.
I honestly think it's
who's
just...
Who's more of a majority? Energy drink people... Or us.
I'm going to say, I think the energy drink people are, because I think the majority of people don't drink energy drinks. I think the ones that do it love it. But I think if you polled 100 people.
Wouldn't that make us the majority then?
Yeah. That's what
You said the energy drink people were the majority.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I flipped that.
Okay.
My bad. Right. No, I think if you took 100 people, I'll bet you 20 of them. Maybe 15 are regular energy drink users. So no,
right. But
the ones that do it, love it. Like I know people that slam a couple of them every day.
But what percentage of the people who don't drink energy drinks have never tried energy drinks? A large percentage.
Well,
of
that's
them,
a
large.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, but
let's go ahead and include that 80-20 as people who hate energy drinks.
I don't think we're going to settle anything here, but I think we're more right than energy drink people.
No, so. I will say that I do take pre-workout every morning, which is... I mean, I guess that's kind of like that, but it's a powder that you mix into water. But that is like an energy drink is one thing. You take pre-workout and you really do feel like you've done something. Like you get like shaky and like you sweat. That's a whole different level right there. And I can't imagine doing that multiple times throughout the day or doing that and then sitting down at your office. Like if you do that, like my hand, like you get twitchy. Like you can't take that and then go into like a board meeting somewhere.
Remember when vodka Red Bulls were a thing?
Yeah.
Aren't they still a thing?
Well, they might be for the kids.
And
but
by the way,
not
if
me.
You're doing that, the correct one is Citron, the Absolute Citron and Red Bull.
Yeah, but don't drink too many.
It's much better.
So I remember trying that for the first time.
Yeah.
Because it was the rage and I was like, okay, I'm going to order one. So I ordered one. And then I ordered another one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ordered another one.
Oh, yeah.
And another one. I've never been so sick in my life.
Well, you get the sugar.
Awful.
You know what you did?
You get the sugar-free
awful.
One.
You had an original Four Loko, which is a thing that happened when I was in college. And that was a treat. And by a treat, I mean a disaster.
Didn't they recall that?
They recalled it.
I think it was killing people.
It literally was killing people. Oh, is that one? Yeah. And now it's released in a safer, quote-unquote, form.
Jesus.
But that was fun when I was in college.
Guys. NFL weekend talk coming
Vomiting
up next.
Blue.
We have a bowl rundown at 5:30, a volcano talk in the club. Also, how long should it take to drive across the United States? They have set the record.
Really?
Yeah.
I've done that twice and
it's a long time.
Now I'm kind of intrigued by how fast someone could do that.
Yeah, well, I'm warning you now.
Yeah.
It's effing fast.
Okay. a Cannonball Run sort of thing. Smokey and the Bandit.
We'll get to that in the club 6 to 7, but right now the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Brian Bulaga.
He's a beast.
That's the bottom line, damn it.
Brian Bulaga.
Number 5.
All right, where should we begin? World champion Washington Nationals managed to keep one of their aces. Free agent Steven Strasburg agrees to a $245 million deal to return to the Nats. It's a 7-year deal, which surpasses the largest ever for a pitcher, which was set by David Price with the Red Sox.
Remember, he signed a deal not too long ago, and it was kind of a, people thought, a below market deal, and there was like this belief that maybe he was doing it because he was concerned about injury and he wanted some stability. Well, he's played his way into a much, much bigger deal.
And now they're saying, with the winter meetings going on down in San Diego, they're saying Gerrit Cole is likely to surpass Steven Strasburg. As a matter of fact, I am told by my Royals sources that my Kansas City Royals have offered Gerrit Cole 36 years, $8 trillion.
Seems like a lot. And something tells me the Yankees will match it.
Yeah, they're just trying to drive up the price. Yeah. There's no way they could afford that.
He's going to New York, right?
I hope so.
I hope not. Although I do hope he goes to New York and then sucks.
Can he go to the Mets? Oh, wait. They're poor, thanks to the
remember,
Bernie Madoff thing.
I'd like to point out, Gerrit Cole was good, but not great before he was an Astro.
Yes.
So there is a chance he just goes back to being good, but not great.
How awesome would it be if the Yankees signed him to like a $300 million deal and then he's just average?
You know, ask the Pirates about Gerrit Cole.
Well, but how about Charlie Morton, who was garbage until he went to the Astros, and now he's awesome after leaving the Astros?
The Astros cheat.
Yeah.
So the question is, can you...
Tainted championships.
Yeah.
And
the Yankees probably cheat too. So
there's no banging on the trash can for the pitching, though.
The Las Vegas Review-Journal reports Oregon offensive coordinator Marcus Arroyo is close to a deal to become the new head coach at UNLV. Now, the Rebels did open a new $35 million football facility this year. Arroyo, he made just over $800,000 this year for the Ducks. Any buyout would be waived because he'd be taking a head coaching position at the FBS level. Now, I'd like to point out that this is not final.
No, but the fact that he's even considering this means that he knows that he's not on great footing there. There's not another coordinator in a top 15 school that takes this. This is one of the 10 worst jobs in college football. They've been to 3 bowl games in 30 years. It's not going to pay that much more than his offensive coordinator position. He was making more than the last head coach. This is a move because he doesn't have another move.
Blazers have lost 3 of 4, and now Rodney Hood is out for the season due to a torn Achilles. But the good news is the Knicks are next up tomorrow.
Oh,
and
that's a win.
They suck. They're 4-19, but they have beat Dallas twice.
We all thought that the Warriors game was a win, so let's be careful what we're saying.
Yeah. It's a valid point. And I know that this, you know, kind of stings, but how good are the freaking Lakers right now? Jesus.
Oh. Yeah, they're good. Good little club.
Yeah,
that's Portland is 9-15, Jace. Yeah. It's not going well.
All that feel-good stuff after the Chicago and Oklahoma, you know, that kind of all.
And I would like to point out that Carmelo Anthony returned to Carmelo Anthony form last night, chucking up crap for 4 quarters. 4 of 18. God.
Well.
At any rate.
It was fun for a week.
It was. It was a feel-good story for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Reports over the weekend that the Cavs are willing to start listening to trade packages for Kevin Love. Apparently, he is clearly unhappy there. And the Thunder are also willing to take on big salaries in order to make moves. So the Blazers have been linked a few times to a possible trade for Danilo Gallinari.
They need something.
As a reinforcement. Seahawks running back Rashad Penny is done for the season. ACL injury suffered last night. Niners cornerback Richard Sherman, grade 2 hamstring strain. Coach there says that he's likely going to miss the next 2 games, which would be the Falcons and Rams, but be back in time for the Seahawks. Bears linebacker Roquan Smith, done for the season, torn pec. Colts kicker Adam Vinatieri is basically 1 foot in the grave. Cowboys cut kicker Brett Maher and signed Kai Forbath today.
Because yeah, that's going to be the solution to the Cowboys' woes. It was your kicking game.
Chiefs quarterback Pat Mahomes, he has a hand injury. It's quite bruised, but no break, so he is going to play this week. Bucks quarterback Jameis Winston has a fractured thumb. They say he's going to go get a second opinion on that. He played through it on Sunday. And we've got Giants-Eagles on Monday Night Football. So basically, Who cares?
Hey, I got some money on the Giants, so I care. Thank you very much.
Oh, I went 0-3 again.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think wow. I did. I think.
I got the Giants getting, it's either 9.5 or 10, so we don't need the Giants to win. But
boy,
if
the
they
weather
could,
looks terrible.
If they it could go ahead and cover, that'd be great.
Dumping rain there.
Raining?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine with me. Low right. scoring, slog
hey,
it out.
You know what's weird about this stupid game is that the Eagles are 5-7, and this is a big game for them.
Yes.
Like, they win this, they tie for the lead in the NFC East.
Realize that one of those garbage teams, being Philadelphia or Dallas, is going to host.
God.
Like Seattle or San Francisco in the postseason.
What if they win, too?
That is a crime. What?
What if that team wins, the NFC East
oh,
team?
Oh, dude, that is a crime if the Niners have to go play at Dallas or
I
Philly.
Know.
A crime.
Yep.
Four Heisman finalists announced today. Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts, Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields, LSU quarterback Joe Burrow, and Ohio State defensive end Chase Young.
Some people are transferred.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that?
Some people are saying that this could be, they're predicting one of, if not the biggest, landslide victories in the history of the Heisman Trophy.
And I've got a word of warning here that the college football coaching carousel update I'm about to give you will include a lot of names that you may not be familiar with.
Okay.
That's your warning. Cal offensive coordinator Bo Baldwin will be named the head coach at Cal Poly. He replaces Tim Walsh, our friend, who was fired there after a 2-5 start.
That's an interesting move.
That is going to a different, like, lower level job.
Perhaps that's the same as with the Arroyo thing.
This is what I'm thinking there. Their offense has not been very good. He was a bright mind. I got to believe that this is another one of those. We encourage you to look for employment.
Cal Poly is an FCS school.
Yeah,
though, right?
this is not. That's not a move.
I guess
that
that's where he was before. So
it's
I guess
still not a move that he that well, he's making willingly.
Look, man, the Cal offense, he's a good offensive coordinator.
It hasn't been good.
It's been terrible.
Yep.
Clemson co-offensive coordinator Jeff Scott will take the job at South Florida. Missouri hires a guy named Eli Drinkwitz.
Oh, yeah, Eli.
Now
he's the
only
App State head coach, right?
Yeah, he's only 36, but he guided Appalachia State to a 12-1 record this year. Arkansas hires Georgia O-line coach Sam Pittman.
I guess someone had to take that job. No one else wanted it. Here, you take it.
He's viewed as one of the best recruiters in the SEC. He used to be an assistant with the Razorbacks, so he has ties there. If you missed it over the weekend, two key hires. Ole Miss landed Lane Kiffin.
Love that move for Ole Miss. And I'm telling you, Ole Miss is a talented squad. Lane Kiffin, Lane Kiffin in a year or two could have them being a contending team. That is not bare bones down there.
Go Owls.
Go Rebels.
Florida yes. State.
What an exciting time.
Florida State got Mike Norvell.
Yeah,
from Norvell.
Norvell, sorry, from Memphis. And he has already poached his offensive coordinator. He has taken Auburn's Kenny Dillingham. All right, there's your Hot 5 at 5. It's refreshed by Coors Light. Enter to win tickets to a Blazers home game and a $250 gift card to the team store wherever you buy Coors Light. Coors Light! Made to chill. Coming up next, now I'm going to give you an audible, okay, or a potential audible here.
Razor!
I wanted to slide in some NFL weekend talk, but if we need to hit the Arroyo thing again, we certainly can, because I think a lot of people are wondering about that today.
Sure.
And what's going on
I
there.
I can give you my theory on that, even though I've already done it.
Well, I know, but you know,
I know I was being,
it's radio. You know?
I was being sarcastic.
Like sometimes people.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do Arroyo. And then we'll slide into the okay. NFL DMs after.
Yeah. Yeah.
You okay over there?
Yeah, no, it's great. All right. 520 on the fan.
Duke on 1080 The Fan.
All right, so what we'll do is we'll shove off bowl talk. We're going to go through the bowl schedule. We can do that tomorrow. More pressing matter today in college. Well, one, we spent all of hour one gloating about our Oregon Ducks winning the Pac-12.
Yeah, no doubt, right? I thought that they were going to go out and physically beat up Utah. Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I'm not surprised they won the game. I'm just surprised at how it went down.
Yeah.
That they just physically beat Utah to the punch.
Line of scrimmage, baby.
Yeah. And Whittingham said it. He goes, they have not been, because USC didn't do that. USC just threw over the top of them.
Yep.
Utah hadn't been dominated like that at the line of scrimmage in a long time.
But that's the way Oregon's built.
Yep.
So you got to give them credit. Ducks going to a Rose Bowl for the fourth time in what, 10 seasons or 11 seasons?
I think it's 11. And they're going to play Wisconsin.
Should be a good matchup.
Wisconsin for a half.
Really
good against
matchup.
Ohio State. And then Ohio State, well, put their foot on the gas.
Tell you what, I love that matchup. That's just a
fun game.
Good freaking Rose Bowl.
Again, talk about two physical teams going toe-to-toe in a phone booth. Yeah, it's good. Same thing all over again.
So if you miss our first hour or any of our hours or interviews or hilarity or hijinks, you can go to 1080thefan.com and download our podcasts. They're brought to you by Les Schwab. But we did talk about this too, but Marcus Arroyo could be on his way out. And I know a lot of Oregon fans are happy about that because they are just dissatisfied with the offense, even though it was a top 15 scoring offense in all of college football this year.
Yeah.
It was top 15.
It wasn't, there's this idea that it was somehow bad, and it, obviously it wasn't. I just think that
it was predictable.
It was predictable.
You got to admit, it was predictable.
It was stale at times. They would go through these huge lulls where nothing was working, and I think people believed that they could be better. And I believe, just me personally, I mean, sort of inside knowledge here, I believe that the only reason that Arroyo is if indeed he ends up taking this job,
which we don't know yet, but he's in talks with UNLV.
So he was making $800,000 and change. He's not going to make more than $1 million at UNLV. Their last coach was making $600,000-$700,000. It'll be more for Arroyo. They're going to play in the new Raider Stadium, so they're investing some money in their coaching staff. But this is a program that no one has won. No one. They have been to 3 bowl games in 30 plus years. It's one of the 10 worst jobs to me in major college football. And you don't get an offensive coordinator in good standing of a top 15 school that takes this job. This is kind of like the Bo Baldwin thing, right? Bo Baldwin's leaving Cal to go take the job at Cal Poly because I think he sees the writing on the wall. And I don't know whether a move was going to be made this offseason or not, but Cristobal is a smart guy. And whether the move was going to be made this year or Arroyo was coaching for his job next year with 4 new offensive linemen and breaking in a new quarterback, he could have a solid year next year, end up going 9-3, offense regresses a little bit, and there should be some regression with the offense when you're breaking in a new quarterback and that many O linemen. And I think he would know at that point that Cristobal would make a change. And if he did end up getting let go after next season, he's not getting another head coaching job. And he may not even get a Power 5 offensive coordinator job. So I think this is, you take the train out of town because you're not comfortable with your future. That's what this move screams to me.
The Christmas train?
The Christmas train. This does not scream, I really am comfortable in my job and it's time to move on to be a head coach at UNLV. I don't buy it. If you felt good about where you were at, you stick around. This program is on the rise. You're building something. And in 2 or 3 years, you would actually be a real candidate for a good job.
All that makes sense. I feel like when your boss sours on you, or if your boss sours on you, you tend to know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And then that changes how you go about your future. And I do think it is a little puzzling. Well, I'm actually kind of puzzled that UNLV wants him. But I get it. Young, energetic,
mm-hmm. great, good recruiter,
affordable, good recruiter,
face of the program,
West Coast. Yeah. I get it. I guess more than I think about it, but, that's kind of a weird one. It's just like you said with Bo Baldwin going to Cal Poly from Cal. It's like, there's something more going on. So they're probably, I think Cristobal drives a hard bargain, man.
Well, and it could be one of those where you are encouraged to look elsewhere, you know?
Well, like I said, when your boss sours on you, whether he tells it to you or not, you know. Yeah. And so that's probably the catalyst. I think you're right. And so look, if Oregon loses Marcus Arroyo, I'm not an Oregon fan, but if I were, I'd like that. I want them to make that change. I wanted them to make that change, even though they were a top 15 offense this year, because their offense was just, like I said, it was too predictable. And with an offensive line like that, you thought that it should have been better, particularly against some of the better defenses they played. Although I will say, good grief, they just ran for 240 yards
against
the number one rush defense in the country.
Exactly.
So
I think therein lies the frustration with some people is it's like, you can't run the ball, consistently throughout the year. You go through these moments where the offense is just stagnant and you've got, these kind of weapons and you see what happens when you can put it all together. And so I just think there is a level of frustration, and I do not think Arroyo is bad. I know a lot of people, not everyone, but yells and screams. I thought he grew up, and I thought there were times where he was really good this year. But I do believe that when you're a program that's coming off of, an 11-win season, you're going to the Rose Bowl, I do think that an influx of talent at the offensive coordinator position, just like what you saw with one at the defensive coordinator position and what it can do, with the level of kids you have and the talent, I do think that this could be a shot in the arm to the program. And honestly, you may need it next year because the offense is probably going to go through some growing pains with a lot of new faces, including for the first time in 4+ years, you know, breaking in a new quarterback.
Who should they go? Like, who's the guy?
I don't know.
If they lose Arroyo, where does Cristobal turn?
I don't know. I'm not certain where you're.
And do they have enough money to bring in the, you know, the hammer guy that they need?
I do think that money shouldn't be a huge thing. You know, Leavitt was the highest paid coordinator in the Pac-12. Avalos has a nice deal. They've pilfered other coaches from around the conference. I think Oregon can pay to go out and find a decent name. I do not think, I know, I don't know if you're going to pay SEC money.
Critical hire though.
Yes, it is.
If it comes to it, that's a critical.
Well,
higher for Cristobal.
Realize that, you know, the Cristobal has proven himself in a short period of time. The guy has built a great program here as far as culture goes. They're recruiting their asses off. The talent level you're already seeing, like with the, you know, some of the young players that are making an impact. Pittman before he got hurt. Thibodeau is going to be an absolute beast. You saw that towards the end of the year when he came into his own. But remember that Cristobal is a guy that doesn't and can't build an offense or a defense. So as a CEO, and this isn't a knock on him, this is just CEO type stuff, you are going to be dependent on hiring good coordinators. And if you're a successful program, those coordinators are going to get picked off and you have to continually hit on those. I mean, to some extent, the success of your program is going to be based upon that. And so, you know, this is going to be something, if he's here for 10, 15 years, this is going to be part of the process. If you're a successful team, this idea that you're going to be like the old Mike Bellotti staffs where you had everyone there for 20+ years, probably not going to be the case.
Yeah. A lot of people throwing out names.
Chip Kelly.
Ooh, Chucky Buckles. What about Helfrich?
I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Do you think he'd come back though?
Probably not.
I doubt it.
I don't think you can come back and at a lesser role, but, I would love to see someone like that.
Chris Peterson.
Well, and remember too, that you're not going to bring in, I'm not gonna say limited, but a lot of the candidates are going to be eliminated simply because you want, if you're Cristobal, you're not turning your offense over to anybody. He wants it to be played a certain way. And this is going to be a run first power football team that's going to be built in his mind in a certain way. And so you are going to have to fall under those parameters, but I would make the argument that you can be creative in a power run game. Look no further than in Alabama when he was there. Lane Kiffin modernized that offense, and that is still a power run game. Oklahoma, what Lincoln Riley does is a power run game. You can be physical and be creative and have different looks and packages. It doesn't have to just be 2 tight end and 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
All right, text the Better You Today text line 55305. We'll get to a few of those, and then we'll take a look at the NFL Week 14. What happened to the Seahawks and my Titans making a run in the AFC South at my Texans? So it's now my Titans versus my Texans.
Dude, that division.
I love it so much.
I don't know what to make.
I love it so much. 5:33. Here's Mike.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Couple of texts. 55305. Yeah, it's crazy what happens when you take the bubble wrap off of Herbert. And of course, they're talking there about the, him keeping it on that zone read early in the Utah game.
Yeah, he got 22 yards, I think, on that opening drive. And I do. I think that put Utah on its heels a little bit and gave him something else to think about.
No question.
All year long, we've been sitting there wondering, boy, if he could just keep that just a handful of times a game to keep teams honest. And
he never did.
He just never did. But they said that, you know, they're after the game, I don't remember if it was Cristobal or if it was Arroyo. I was listening to some of the postgame stuff. And, you know, they were saying that, you know, there was, you know, no other games. I mean, you got a while to go. So they were going to unleash that a little bit. I think they were just very nervous about keeping Herbert upright and keeping him protected. And I guess when you're in the last game of the year, technically before the bowl game, all bets are off. And it's not like they did it a ton, but the fact that they did it early on and had some success, it does force Utah to pay attention.
Isn't it funny? A lot of these Duck fans want Jonathan Smith, the Beavers coach, as their offensive coordinator.
Well, it's funny. Someone else said, you know, be careful what you wish for, because Washington fan, when Jonathan Smith left, a lot of them were like, good riddance. And now they've got Bush Hamden, who again,
their offense isn't as good.
So
Hello.
You know, we'll see. And by the way, Arroyo hasn't even taken the job yet.
But, no.
You know, I would,
nothing official.
Oregon is on a really good trajectory right now with the way they're recruiting, and there's a lot of talent coming back. But there could be a regression. First, you play Ohio State to start the year, and I do think that Ohio State is a much different animal even than Auburn. And remember that is, you're going to have four brand new linemen and a quarterback basically taking his first ever real snaps in a meaningful game against Ohio State to start the year. There could be some growing pains next year along the way. And it doesn't mean that anything's wrong. It's just, you know, when you're building something, not every year is going to be an 11 win year, or just because you went to the Rose Bowl, the next natural step isn't, you know, it's not college football playoff. Look at Washington, right? Washington seemed to be on this great trajectory and went to the college football playoff, and there's been some regression. Not that they haven't been good, but this idea that it's just like a steady climb with no backtracks, that's, well, be careful.
No, there's no doubt about that. I mean, this is just Cristobal's, what, second year?
But yeah, this is,
he
this
got
will
the
be
job
his third.
2 years ago.
Yep.
So, I mean, the guy's been tremendous.
He's done a great job.
But yeah, right. It's not as if it's just going to be this straight line to the top.
Yep.
All right. Well, the Seahawks were bad last night.
Yeah, that was...
how about that game?
That was not good. And some of that, obviously, Seattle laid an egg, and some of it was, you know, the Rams. The Rams, who we were all, like, left for dead. All of a sudden, Todd Gurley's looking a little bit like the old Todd Gurley. The receivers are healthy. The O-line's playing better, and...
Well, the O-line is healthy, too. Yeah. Weren't they missing, like, three offensive linemen for a while?
They've been beat up.
And Cooks was out, and Woods was out, and it's like, oh, funny how the Rams look, and Sean McVay looks so much better when he has his full complement of players.
Yeah. My big thing, though, is, and I don't know, I still think Todd Gurley is a shell of his former self. I mean, people forget, man. Todd Gurley was a beast. He was the best skill position player in the NFL. He was an MVP guy. And whatever, you know, whether it's the knees or arthritis or load management, whatever that was, they have not been the same since Todd Gurley kind of, you know, whatever, fell off the cliff a little bit there. But the last couple of weeks, Todd Gurley has started to look better. And, you know, I don't know whether that's just, you know, the competition, you know, the Cardinals and the Seahawks had an off game, or if this is the emergence of Todd Gurley. But when he's going and they can run the ball and they can work that play action pass,
much
that
better.
Is a different offense.
Yeah, it really is much better. And then when they have Woods and Cooks out there.
Yeah.
But Goff tried to give it away a few times, a couple picks. Pick six, but
well, they're going to look great because they play the Cowboys next week. And if you want your offense to look great,
hey,
go play the Cowboys.
Okay. I know my NFL picks have been a disaster this year.
Yeah.
And this is probably why did you see the spread on that game?
No.
Guess the spread on the Rams Cowboys game. It's in Dallas.
Rams plus +7.
I'm going to go ahead and
What? The Rams plus +7.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. No, the Rams favored. Rams minus -7. Touchdown
I'm going to go ahead and say Rams minus -2.
Rams minus -2. Okay, so it's in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Let me just double check. Let me get you the latest line here. Okay, bro? Hold on. I saw this and went, oh my God.
Yeah, by the way, my apologies. The Rams are not getting points.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Dallas. Hey, the Cowboys are just ready to pop. Everything's hunky-dory there.
Where you at, bitch?
I love, by the way, with each disaster they put out there, that Jerry Jones just keeps talking.
Okay, it's now down to a pick'em, but it started Dallas minus -4. It opened with the Cowboys minus -4.
Are you serious?
What?
And so somewhere yesterday I saw it at 3 and I was like, wait a minute.
Did you jump on it?
No, I didn't. Because I'm still scared now because my NFL picks are so bad.
I'd jump on that.
I'm like, God, dude, that can't be. The Rams getting 3 at Dallas, but now it's down to a pick. And in some places, the Rams are favored by 1, which I still think is a good bet.
Boy, maybe that's
Dallas
just,
sucks.
Maybe it's just because
is there something we don't know?
Maybe there's just action coming in on Dallas because, you know, Dallas is a sentimental favorite.
Like their backs are against the wall. I don't know, man. I don't know, bro.
I'll gobble up some of that. If it's that's a
gobble,
pick.
Gobble,
gobble, gobble.
Yeah, pick them. I'm all over that.
All right, let's come back and talk about my Titans, okay?
Yes.
Don't they deserve a little time on the show?
It was impressive. I thought the Raiders were going to get them. I missed that.
Yeah, no, the Titans look good.
Yeah, they did.
5:45 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, wrapping up some NFL talk from week 14. It's getting good, man. These races are solid. You know, the Seahawks needed to beat the Rams in order to clinch a playoff spot. And now they're dangerous. Like they've been so good this year. They're 10-3. And it's like, you can write that game off against the Rams. It's like, got lucky to beat them the first time, right? They missed a field goal and you say, hey, we're 10-3. We're still in good shape, but
it's a big game coming up.
Dude, it's enormous. Like now you have suddenly changed the paradigm to the, with that loss to where it's like, so they have what? Carolina should beat them because it seems as if they may have quit.
Carolina's spiraling.
So that's good because a couple of weeks ago, or maybe even, well, let's say a couple months ago, it looked like, ooh, that could be a tough one.
Yep.
And then you've got Arizona, right?
Yep. And then San Francisco.
And then it's the game where you host San Francisco. So it looks like they should be all right. I'm saying just to make the playoffs, they should be okay.
Oh, yeah.
But the Rams are all, well, you say, oh, yeah, the Rams are only two back of them.
No.
If they slip up against Carolina or Arizona and then lose to the Niners, the Rams could catch them.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I have faith in Seattle against those two teams. But, you know,
I do too. But
they have played very close games against some bad teams. And the Rams are coming. The Rams sitting there at 8-5. And
yeah, but they're not going to make it.
No, I don't think so.
That's the thing, is the Rams are going to be a hell of a playoff team that's not going to make the playoff.
Yeah, because I'm looking what they have left. Playoff. So they're at Dallas.
Playoffs.
Which, again, should be a win. And then they're at San Francisco. That's tough.
Huge.
And Arizona. So let's
say they got to run the table.
Yeah, they do. But because realistically, let's say that they go two of their next three, which I think is more than likely. And
then they only win 10.
Yeah. And that's,
and the Seahawks just need to, but I'm saying if the Rams run it, let's say the Rams run it.
Yeah.
They're at 11 wins.
You can't afford to stub your toe.
Nope. Well, anyway, couple things.
And then look what Minnesota is sitting there at. You got Minnesota's at 9-4. I want to see what Minnesota has left.
Well, the other thing too is
Minnesota and Green Bay.
The Seahawks need to win the division. Mm-hmm. They need to beat the Niners. If they can beat the Niners again, then they get a bye and it changes everything. If they don't, then they have to go on the road and play in the first week, divisional week, on the road.
Now Minnesota has a much tougher road than either one of those. So Minnesota's a game back of Green Bay, and they're at 9-3. They've got the at the Chargers.
They're nine. Wait, no, yeah. They should have played 13.
Let's see. Where right? are they at? I thought I just saw 9-3, but I could be off.
I think they're
computer load. Oh, 9-4. I'm sorry.
Okay, so they're 9-4.
They're 9-4.
And Green Bay's 10-3.
10-3.
So that's a big race too.
That's a big race. And look at this.
Although they may play each other.
Yeah, they do.
They'll play each other in the playoffs.
Oh.
No, I'm saying in the playoffs because the Cowboy, the NFC East champ is so bad and the NFC West champ is so good. That those two are probably going to meet.
Yeah, so you
in the playoffs,
depending on who ends up winning the division.
Yeah, you want to get home field.
And so the Vikings have at the Chargers, and then they've got Green Bay at home and Chicago at home. And Chicago's playing better. Chicago's not going to make the playoffs, but Chicago's playing better. So that's some tough sledding right there for Minnesota. There's no layups there.
It's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
There's good stuff going on right now.
Well, and then, of course, your favorite division.
Oh, I love the AFC South.
I know that your pants get tight over it. So you got Houston at 8-5, Tennessee at 8-5.
Yep.
And then the Colts obviously have fallen off a bit.
Colts are out. It's the Texans and the Titans. And in the AFC, the one wrench in there is Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Pittsburgh who keeps winning.
They've got... their ninth string quarterback in there and they're sitting there at 8-5.
So if the Steelers keep, well, I would say this, if the Steelers fall off a cliff, which I keep waiting for them to do, but they never do. So they're not going to, but I'm just saying if they did, the Titans and the Texans would both be in good shape to get in. One, the division champ, one is a wild card.
And then you got Buffalo.
But because of the Steelers, the team that does not win that division is going to be in peril of not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
So if you're wondering, Titans and Texans haven't played yet. So they play this week in Tennessee, and then they play the last week of the season in Houston.
Well, and remember this, right? We're all thought that Buffalo was kind of in like a dirty shirt.
What does that mean?
Well, that they were fine, right? That they were safe.
Are they in danger now?
They're at Pittsburgh. Okay. They're at New England.
Ooh, big game.
And then the Jets. So like you mentioned, right? You got the Titans and the Texans both sitting there a game back. Actually, that'd be two back. But Pittsburgh gets to play Buffalo. And so Buffalo all of a sudden at 9-4 with two tough games.
I forgot about that. So Buffalo could drop out of there.
If Buffalo, 'cause
I just need my Titans to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I got a Vegas ticket on them.
Yeah. So it's gonna get interesting here in the AFC, especially if Buffalo drops a couple here, which
the Bills have struggled against good teams so far.
Yeah.
They haven't played a lot of them, but they've struggled in those games.
Well, you know,
I didn't get to see much of the Ravens-Bills game. I was watching Niners.
The Bills
Saints.
Made it close late,
but
it was kind of an ugly game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but they were.
It was like 20.
I think it was 24 to 9
or something.
Yeah,
and then the Bills got a little close in the fourth quarter. I think they were down by 15 going into the fourth quarter, made it a touchdown game. So
Buffalo is playing at Pittsburgh this week.
At Pittsburgh,
interesting.
And then they're on the road against New England.
Boy, are those two teams the same?
Who?
Buffalo and Pittsburgh. That's the same team.
Yeah.
Buffalo is a way better quarterback.
They do, but Pittsburgh's winning just the same.
Just imagine if Pittsburgh still had Roethlisberger. This has been a great coaching job.
Pete Carroll's having his best year.
And
Mike Tomlin's having his best
whether
year.
Whether Pittsburgh makes the playoffs or not, that is a hell of a job keeping that thing together by Mike Tomlin.
And how about Mike Vrabel? Making the switch to Ryan Tannehill. Here's a fun fact for you. You know who the top two NFL quarterbacks are in quarterback rating?
I'm guessing Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan
one
Tannehill
of them.
One, Kirk Cousins two.
Kirk Cousins is two?
Yes.
Where's Lamar Jackson?
He's up there. But Tannehill and Cousins 1-2. How about that? Titans are 6-1 since moving to Tannehill, and they're averaging 31.4 points per game.
They have, and he's throwing the ball beautifully. It's opened up their offense, and unfortunately, like the Mariota people that would bitch and moan about it was all the Titans' fault. Well, Tannehill's existing in this, and he's thriving. But back to real quick, and I it scares me because he gets hit so many times. I know he's questionable he's limited with a bad quad. At that quarterback position, it worries me that he gets hit so much because he's not Cam Newton. But
wait, who are we talking about?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar.
Watching him play, I've never seen anything like him. I really haven't. It's not Randall Cunningham. It's not Michael Vick. The arm angles, the RPO options that he has, how to defend him in that plus one power run game. I don't know if this is sustainable over 6-7 years. I still believe that you can't get hit that many times as a quarterback. Like if you're a running back or receiver and you get beat up, that's one thing, but you end up breaking a finger, you get a twisted ankle, a knee, just the wear and tear on your body. It affects so much, when you're trying to throw the football and all the mechanics that go into it. So I don't know how this is going to age, but right now watching him play is nothing. I haven't seen it. I have not seen, even when he's not great. And the last couple weeks, he's been good, not great. The numbers aren't eye-popping.
Well, he's played two good defenses.
Yeah. And this, by the way, proves that you can slow this down. The Ravens aren't just some sort of juggernaut that's going to breeze through this whole thing. They are going to be tested. But watching him play, this is what everyone envisioned when the quote running quarterback,
I love
and the college system coming in.
This league is awesome.
This is what was envisioned, and it is for the time being, damn, it's fun to watch.
The league is so good, and I think I'm saying this more so now because the Patriots are vulnerable.
Yeah,
and that makes it more fun because I'm tired of them.
Sure,
but the Ravens, Saints. I mean, Niners, Seahawks in the mid. I mean, it's just so good. I love it. Love every damn thing about it. I want to make love to it.
You want to make love to the NFL season?
Mm-hmm. I just love it. Green Bay's 10-3 and everybody's bitching about them.
Yeah. No one's paying any attention to little old Green Bay up there.
So compelling. Anyway, one last stat for you. The Pittsburgh quarterback, what's his name? Duck Hodges or whatever they call him. He beat Kyler Murray. That is the fourth time this year that an undrafted quarterback has beaten the number one overall. Beaten a quarterback who went number one overall.
Really?
What are the 4-0?
What are the other? Are they against Kyler Murray or is it?
I was trying to. I read that stat and I was going to go back and look and then I forgot. But I think one would be probably Tampa, right? Like Jameis.
Yeah.
Surely he lost to some schlub.
I would think so.
I can look it up. I'll have that for you tomorrow. Or maybe next segment. I don't know.
It goes to show
I'm
you.
A pretty fast Googler.
Get the undrafted rookies. It's all you need.
It's all you need. Well, not rookies, just undrafted passer.
Yeah. What's this? Is it Devin or Devlin? Devlin. They call him Duck?
Duck Hodges.
Duck.
Well, he doesn't turn it over, and Mason Rudolph did.
Mason.
And they have a really good defense. So.
Mason Rudolph should not play quarterback anymore. It's He's bad.
We'll be back with more sports talk tomorrow. But up next, it is the club.
There you go.
We have volcano talk, and how fast is the fastest anyone has ever driven across the United States?
Have you ever been to a volcano?
Next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.